Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. 2009, The End of America by Porter Stansberry is a financial and political warning book focused on the future of the United States dollar, the limits of paper money, and the possibility of a global monetary reset. Positioned in the tradition of crisis-oriented investment writing, it combines economic history, monetary theory, and social cycle analysis to argue that America is approaching a severe turning point around 2029. Stansberry frames the moment through the fourth turning thesis, which views major national crises as recurring roughly every 80 years and connects that framework to federal debt, money printing, reserve currency pressure, and social instability. The book is not a conventional macroeconomics textbook. It is written for ordinary American investors and citizens who want to understand why the author believes the current monetary order is fragile. Its purpose is both diagnostic and practical to explain the risks Stansberry sees in the financial system and to outline ways readers might prepare. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the fourth turning as the book's crisis framework. A central feature of 2029, The End of America, is its use of the fourth turning idea to organize financial and social risk into a larger historical pattern. Stansberry presents the United States as entering an 80-year crisis cycle comparable, in broad structural terms, to periods associated with the American Revolution, the Civil War, and the Great Depression followed by World War II. The point of this framework is not only to forecast market stress, but to argue that financial systems become most vulnerable when institutions lose legitimacy, public trust weakens, and political compromise becomes harder. By naming 2029 as a focal date, the book gives urgency to what might otherwise be a general critique of debt and currency management. The reasoning is that monetary crises rarely occur in isolation. They tend to coincide with social fragmentation, generational conflict, and institutional overreach. This makes the fourth turning lens important because it links markets to civic stability. Its limitation is that cycle-based historical models can appear more precise than events allow. So readers should treat it as an interpretive framework rather than a guaranteed timetable. Secondly, the decline of the dollar-centered paper money system. Stansberry's most direct monetary argument is that the age of paper money, especially the dollar's role as the world's dominant reserve currency, is approaching a dangerous end phase. In the book's logic, the dollar has allowed the United States to finance deficits, wars, consumption, and bailouts on terms unavailable to ordinary countries because global trade and reserves have depended heavily on dollar assets. That privilege becomes unstable if foreign creditors, central banks, or investors begin to doubt the long-term purchasing power and fiscal discipline behind the currency. The critique is not simply that money is fiat rather than backed by gold or another hard asset. It is that paper money systems give governments strong incentives to delay hard choices through borrowing and monetary expansion. The book connects this to the possibility of a global monetary reset, in which international institutions or major economies push for alternatives to the existing dollar order. This topic stands out because it shifts the discussion from personal investment losses to a broader geopolitical question: what happens when the currency anchoring world finance is no longer trusted as before? Thirdly, debt, deficit spending, and the inflationary escape route. The book's economic mechanism rests on a familiar but consequential chain of reasoning: persistent federal deficits lead to rising debt. Rising debt increases the burden of interest payments, and political leaders then face pressure to avoid default, austerity, or tax increases by relying on monetary expansion. Stansberry argues that this pattern is especially dangerous for a country whose currency is deeply embedded in global finance. Because the temptation to print or monetize obligations can continue longer than it could elsewhere, in this view, the crisis is delayed rather than prevented. Inflation becomes the hidden adjustment mechanism, reducing the real value of debts while transferring costs to savers, wage earners, retirees, and middle-class households. The book also emphasizes that official solvency can coexist with declining purchasing power. There were any HPA, meaning a government may pay its bills while citizens experience falling real living standards. This topic is central because it explains why Stansberry treats money printing not as a technical policy tool, but as a political response to promises that have become difficult to fund honestly. The practical implication is that nominal wealth and real wealth may diverge sharply during a monetary crisis. Fourthly, financial stress as a source of social and political instability. 2009, The End of America expands beyond portfolio risk by arguing that a monetary breakdown would affect social order, political authority, and everyday life. Stansberry links currency debasement, inflation, and shortages to public anger, because money is not only an accounting tool, it is the medium through which people measure wages, savings, contracts, and future security. When that medium becomes unreliable, trust erodes across households, institutions, and markets. The book's warnings include the possibility of civil unrest, pressure on essential goods, and more coercive government responses if economic stress becomes severe. These claims are part of the book's broader argument that political leaders often underestimate the social consequences of monetary policy. The reasoning is that middle-class decline and widening resentment can turn a financial crisis into a legitimacy crisis. This is one of the book's more controversial dimensions because it moves from economic analysis into scenarios that may or may not occur. Still, it usefully reminds readers that inflation and debt are not abstract balance sheet issues. They can reshape behavior, intensify polarization, and change how citizens evaluate the state. Lastly, preparation for investors facing a monetary reset. The book's practical promise is a survival playbook for ordinary American investors. Though its emphasis is more strategic than narrowly instructional in the available descriptions, Stansbury encourages readers to think in terms of resilience against currency decline, inflation, financial repression, and institutional instability. The underlying principle is diversification away from exclusive dependence on dollar-denominated promises whose real value could be impaired. While the book should not be treated as personalized financial advice, its preparation theme aligns with several broad protective concepts understanding counterparty risk. Questioning the safety of long-duration paper claims, considering assets that may hold value under inflationary conditions, and avoiding complacency about conventional retirement planning. What differentiates this discussion from standard asset allocation advice is the scenario it is designed around. Rather than assuming markets remain broadly orderly and central banks remain credible, Stansbury asks what investors should do if those assumptions fail. The value of this section is its insistence that preparation begins with diagnosis. Readers must first understand how debt, reserve currency status, and political incentives interact before they can evaluate protective choices. Its weakness is that readers seeking precise, universally applicable steps may need additional professional guidance. In conclusion, 2009, The End of America is best suited for readers interested in monetary history, dollar risk, crisis investing, and the political consequences of excessive debt. It will appeal most to investors who already suspect that conventional forecasts understate systemic risk, as well as to citizens trying to understand why reserve currency status, deficits, and central bank policy matter beyond financial headlines. Its practical benefit is not that it provides a simple formula for surviving a crisis, but that it pushes readers to examine assumptions about cash, bonds, purchasing power, and institutional stability. Intellectually, it stands out by combining the fourth turning framework with a critique of fiat money and a focus on the dollar's global role. Many books in this category discuss inflation, gold, debt, or geopolitical decline separately. Stansbury's distinctive positioning is to treat them as parts of one approaching monetary and social reset. Readers should approach the book critically, especially where forecasts depend on cyclical timing or severe scenarios. But its value lies in forcing a disciplined look at risks often dismissed during periods of apparent normalcy for those comparing it with similar financial warning books. Its main differentiator is the integration of historical crisis cycles with a practical investor-oriented warning about the end of the paper money era. If you would like to support Porter Stansbury, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.